Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like the baseline transition there. There we go. There you go. Every good song's got to have a little bass line. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is running the show today as we broadcast live from the Rowley House Studios. My voice, thankfully, is a little deeper, but it's a little thready. I did MC the auction at Rockhurst High School last night, and thanks to the good folks at Rockhurst High School for inviting me to come out again. I met a lot of great people and got reacquainted with some people I haven't seen in a while. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but that's why my voice is a little strained today, because we did the 2 hours of radio yesterday, which is not stressful, but then when you get up at an auction...
Speak for yourself, Brad.
Yeah. When you MC an auction and it's like two and a half hours and people are loud because they're having a good time and you're trying to talk over the crowd to make sure they hear the items that you're putting up for auction, Your voice goes a little bit, so I was kind of at the end last night, so I'm trying to bounce back a little bit today. A little, should have got some lemon tea or tea with honey?
Yeah, tea with honey.
Yeah, should have done that.
Any kind of tea with honey.
Should have done that.
There's actually tea in the break room.
Is there?
And honey,
okay,
in the break room,
so
maybe during a break.
And that would be good also on a day like today, because with the three previous Sundays we came in to do the show, we were experiencing snow. There's no snow today, but there is rain. So fourth Sunday in a row, we've had precipitation here in Kansas City, which means it's also cloudy, which means we haven't seen the sun again. But we're going to try to pep you up. We got some really good guests lined up today. Coming up at 9:25, my good friend Matt Wheeler from ESPN will join us. He covers college basketball behind the scenes, and then he also does a lot of the prep work for the NBA draft show. So Matt Wheeler is going to give us an inside look at some of the local prospects, where they might go in the NBA draft, especially now with Udoka Azubuike declaring for the draft. He's not hiring an agent, but he's going to declare for the draft. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I think Seren Petra had some good points this week and just want to kind of piggyback on that a little bit. But Udoka Azubuike, personally, I don't think he's ready. In the end, here's what Greg Gurley, former KU basketball star, Shawnee Mission South star, Dorena Award winner, frequent guest here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's what he told me years ago. We were doing a draft show at the TV station where I used to work, and Chris Porter at Auburn was a big-time player. He windmill dunks, super athletic, all that kind of stuff. And we were doing the draft show, and Greg Gurley put up his mock draft or the most talented players, that kind of thing, and Chris Porter wasn't on his list. I said, Greg, I mean, come on, I watch a lot of college basketball. Chris Porter at Auburn, why is he not on your list? I mean, he's super talented, right? And he goes, can't shoot. The NBA, if you cannot shoot, you cannot play. There's no room for guys like that. If you cannot shoot, there's not a spot for you in the NBA anymore. If you're 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet, doesn't matter. You have got to be able to shoot.
Can't do it.
Cannot do it. Because everybody in the NBA can shoot. You got to be able to defend on the perimeter. Doesn't matter if you're 7 feet tall. And you better be able to shoot. And Udoka Azubuike cannot shoot.
Can't do it.
He's going to have to work on it. I don't know Bill Self and his staff, if that's a priority for them. I'm assuming they want him to better himself to get ready for the NBA. And it would be... Look, I'm not an agent. I'm not an advisor. I'm not a coach. I'm not a draft insider. I'm not a draft guru. But my advice to Udoka Azubuike, get back to Kansas and figure out how to shoot.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, you have to.
We were talking yesterday about the transitional skills of what big men in the NBA can do, and we were talking about Giannis and Anthony Davis, who was a monster last night.
Unbelievable
last
night.
Seeing what Joel Embiid does, what Ben Simmons does. Ben Simmons is 6'11 and runs point.
Yes.
So, yeah, you need to have a little bit more skill than just being a 7-foot, 280-pound monster who dunks the ball all the time. And he has added that little baby hook, that kind of running hook in the lane. But outside of 3 feet, what does he do? You can't be DeAndre Jordan in the NBA and shoot 42% and be an effective offensive player.
Right.
DeAndre Jordan's Udo Kazabuki is not DeAndre Jordan.
No, not even close. And if you can't shoot, you cannot play in the NBA. Should he consider the D-League? No. I would stay at Kansas. Work on the jump shot. Maybe you don't see it early in the season, but you better be working on it in the summertime, and you better be prepared come conference play to show NBA scouts that you can shoot.
It'd be interesting to ask Matt when we get him on the phone also about how limited he'd be in Europe, because that's the big thing in Europe, too.
You got to shoot.
Having skilled big men who play around the perimeter.
And that's why every year when the draft comes around, you'll see somebody with a very European name, a German name.
Luka Doncic this year?
Yeah. You see those guys pop up. You're like, who's that guy? I don't know who that guy is. You can go watch him on YouTube, limited highlights, that sort of thing. But they get drafted because they can shoot. And they can dribble. They can run the floor with the ball. Udoka Azubuike would be well advised to not go to the NBA draft. Unless he thinks the G League.
Alphabet League.
Is where he's going to develop. If that's a plan that he thinks can work, okay. I don't think so.
He certainly wouldn't have the rigors of class. It would just be only basketball.
Hang on, you said the rigors of class.
No, I say tongue firmly planted in cheek. So even as a Kansas student, trust me, I'm not doing any bragging about my degree when I see some of these guys. But you mentioned his conditioning, and Coach Hootie's one of the best athletes.
He was much better this last
year. He was better this year, but think about what another year with Coach Hootie and being – I'd like to say 100%, but he's been injured the past 2 years.
Right.
So I guess that's probably what gets his mind thinking.
Right.
Do I go now? I don't want to come back for my junior year and blow out my MCL.
Andrea Hootie might be the most respected trainer, workout enthusiast in college basketball.
Yeah, she's the best.
And you notice on senior night, every KU player who gives their speech spends a lot of time talking about Andrea Hootie.
Well, and the guys who stay for their senior years, you look at
how their bodies change. Yeah,
over 4 years, you're like, damn, that lady knows what the hell she's doing.
So Matt Wheeler from ESPN will join us at 9:25. Talk about Udoka. Talk about Devontae Graham, Malik Newman, Michael Porter Jr., Jonte Porter. Folks going into the NBA draft as well as some of the other players. I looked at a couple of different mock drafts today, and I saw one that had Michael Porter Jr. going number one overall and DeAndre Ayton going three overall, and I kind of looked at it and I thought, no.
Where did you reference that?
I will call it up for you here. It is, oh, shoot. I switched off. I think it was NBADraft.net.
I'll do some research here.
And it wasn't up. It was updated like May or April 14th, so they don't have Udoka in there yet. So we'll talk with Matt Wheeler about that at 9:25. At 10 o'clock, Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com will join us. Matt is getting ready for the NFL draft, obviously, and we'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs and how aggressive they should be in possibly moving up earlier into the second round or into the end stage of the first round if they've got a player they really want. I talked yesterday a lot about Josh Jackson, the corner from Iowa, who's a ridiculously talented athlete. He had 8 interceptions last year, led the country. He's pegged to go somewhere in the early to mid-20s in the first round. So how aggressive can the Chiefs be? The first pick is not until 54. So even to get to the top end of the second round, you're talking about jumping up 20 picks or more. So we'll talk with Matt Derrick about that, Chiefs draft, and then getting ready for OTAs and all the things that are going on during the offseason as they head towards training camp in July and August. Matt Derrick at 10 o'clock. At 10:25, Matt Tate from the Lawrence Journal-World and KUSports.com will join us And again, a little bit more on Udoka and what his thinking is and what Bill Self thinks about it and how KU is going to replace three-point shooting. As I was reading some numbers, and between Devontae Graham, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Malik Newman, they're losing, I think, 94.4% of their three-point shooting.
Which isn't all that important. The game isn't trending at all to anyone shooting a lot of threes.
No.
That should be fine.
And I think the only two players, I read the tweet last night, the only other two players who made threes were LeGerald Vick and...
he gone.
Yeah, LeGerald Vick's gone. And Mitch Lightfoot made a three.
And he might redshirt.
He might redshirt.
I don't think so now that LeGerald Vick is gone.
So Matt Tate is going to join us to talk about that. Also, what went wrong? What's going wrong for the KU spring football game? They're not playing one. They're having an open practice because they do not have enough healthy offensive linemen. It's April 22nd. KU does not have enough healthy offensive linemen to hold a spring game. And to be honest, an open practice might be better anyway, because what are you going to draw for the KU spring game? Are you going to get 5,000?
No, Brad.
2,500?
No.
Kids on campus with nothing to do. You want to, you know, get up and...
Why? If you have nothing to do, you're going to walk to campus as a kid? No.
What if you live on campus?
On a weekend? I don't care. You walk to one of the nice places on Mass Street. Or Bullwinkle's.
Did you
a
see...
nice establishment
yeah.
I enjoyed when I was...
You know, the Wheel?
Spent a lot of time there also.
Did you see the attendance for the Nebraska spring game?
90,000. Scott
Almost Frost. 90,000. And it was, I think Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, tweeted out that game was sold out within 36 hours of Scott Frost being hired as head coach.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a nice job there.
Now, in Lincoln, their football team has been so-so since they left the Big 12. Still get almost 90,000 people. They don't really have a lot going on in Lincoln other than Nebraska football.
They have 90,000 tickets sold each week, but the attendance, actually what goes through the turnstiles, is probably closer to like 65, 70. It's not
it's
the way it
lot
was.
For a college football game.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
a team that's mediocre at best.
Yeah, I mean, you alluded to the fact, what else are you really going to do in Nebraska? They have a nice zoo in Omaha.
Yes. That was the Henry Dorley.
Shane Summers is a big proponent.
So we're going to get to that with Matt Tate, all the KU stuff, basketball and football. That's at 10:25. Then at 11 o'clock, Danny Klinkscale takes over with baseball tonight, getting you set for the series finale. Royals and Tigers, 12:10 first pitch in Detroit. Eric Skoglund against Francisco Liriano. So now we get to the Royals. And look, I tried to stay with that game yesterday. I tried. I really, really tried. Final score, 12-4. And I just, when it was 3-3, the only thing I'm thinking is, if the Tigers get one more run, this game is over. The Royals don't score 3 or 4 runs a night. Not going to win you a lot of games. It's just not. And the Royals are not winning a lot of games. It's really bad. Danny Duffy struggled. He was over 100 pitches in 5 innings. And I was going to get I was trying to open my Twitter account here because he just tweeted out last night. He tweets about his dog a lot. And Danny Duffy is also self-deprecating. So Danny Duffy tweeted this last night after the game. Tied with my dog in wins this season so far. Got to be better. Nobody hates losing more than we do. Hang in there, Royals fans. I appreciate y'all a ton.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite. Danny Duffy. Look, I get that. That's a great sentiment. But this thing is going south. It's been going south since opening day. All right? This season is lost. That's fine. We've all accepted that. If you haven't, I don't know who you are. But the season is lost. This season is about getting the most trade desirable players to play their best baseball so that other teams come for them and you get prospects back. That's what this season is about right now. After July, after the trade deadline, it's about throwing guys out there. And I know a lot of folks have been talking about the Yankees need a third baseman because their infield defense has been horrible. And they have some injury problems. And folks have been tweeting out, hey, Yankees, come and get Mike Moustakas. You know what the Yankees did last night? They called up their next superstar, the guy they expect to be a superstar. Gleyber Torres, third baseman. He's been ripping the cover off the ball in AAA. Not a home run guy, but a solid hitter. They pulled him from the AAA game last night in the sixth inning. Told him, you're going to New York. Had to call his parents in Venezuela and see if they could get here for today's game. I don't know how easy it is to travel from Venezuela. That might be a challenge.
I bet they pieced it together.
Yeah. But they're calling up Gleyber Torres. So if you're thinking Moustakas is going to the Yankees, no.
Well, we'll see how well this kid performs.
Right.
A lot of Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers prospects are super inflated because they play for said organizations. So we'll see what he does. He does have good numbers down in AAA. But.
Now, here's the other side of it that hurts if you're a Royals fan. But you accept it because it's how we got a World Series. Not only did the Royals get their teeth kicked in again, 12-4, but you turn on the highlights last night, and there's Sean Manaea with the Oakland A's. Sean Manaea was traded for Ben Zobrist. Big, big piece of the 2015 World Series championship. And Dayton Moore had said at the time, of all the trades we've made, this one is going to hurt the most. Or will be the one that hurts. The other ones weren't, Jonathan Lamb and some of the other guys they traded away.
Cody Reed, man, I'm losing sleep over Cody Reed.
Has he played an inning of Major League Baseball?
I don't think so.
He hasn't, not effectively anyway? And then the kid from TCU, Finnegan.
He's actually been okay.
He's been okay, but he's hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurt a lot. So Dayton Moore had said the Sean Manaea trade is the one that's going to hurt because Sean Manaea is going to be a good player. Now, Sean Manaea, when he was drafted, was it Indiana State? He was already hurt. He had a hip injury. The Royals knew that. They drafted him in the first round, but they gave him top area money, counting on the fact that he would get healthy, get his hip healthy. And then the next year or 2 years later in spring training, I was getting ready to do a story on him for my former TV station. And I went over and talked to him, and all the guys are getting dressed, getting ready to go get in the morning workout. And he's got his Hawaiian shirt on in front of his locker. I said, Sean, can we talk to you for a minute? Sure. Great interview. Super nice kid. Sean Manaea, super nice kid. So I talked to him, and then at the end of the interview, I said, hey, I apologize for holding you up. I see all the other guys are dressed and heading out, and I guess you can't go out in your Hawaiian shirt. And he goes, well, I'm kind of dinged up again. And I said, really? How you dinged up? He said, well, I can't really say. So they kept it quiet. He would go out and do the stretching and all that, but would not do the throwing. But you knew that the talent was coming. So last night against the Red Sox, who lead Major League Baseball in almost every conceivable offensive category, Sean Manaea, no-hit the Boston Red Sox. No-hit the Boston Red Sox. Final line, 9 innings. No hits, no runs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts for Sean Manaea. Not only a no-hitter, but did it in 108 pitches. 108 pitches to get a no-hitter for Sean Manaea, former Royal first-round draft pick who was traded to Oakland in the Ben Zobrist trade. And that's the side of it. You accept it. That was the price of getting the World Series. And that was the one, as Dayton Moore said, that's going to hurt. And it does. Watching him have this kind of success, you look at his numbers for the season. Okay, he plays for the Oakland A's. They're terrible. Sean Manaea has managed to get 3 wins in his 5 starts. His ERA is 1.23, 30 strikeouts to 6 walks, and a whip of 0.60 in 5 starts. That's no longer just a small sample size. You're 5 starts in. The only odd number I could find with Sean Manaea, which doesn't make sense in any world, is he's only given up 16 hits in his 5 starts, and 4 of those have been home runs. But you figure, as Jed Marshall said earlier, I read you that stat, and I thought it was odd that 25% of the hits he's given up have been home runs. For most pitchers, that'd be awful.
Yeah.
But if you only give up 16 hits, you're betting that there weren't a lot of guys on base.
Yeah, you're certainly limiting your damage that you're giving up on those home runs. There's
right.
On ESPN.com, Bradford Doolittle, who used to write for The Star and comes on with Seren on the program from 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, Wrote a cool article here about Sean Manaea that I'm taking a look at. I think everyone should go to ESPN and give it a read.
All right. Bradford Doolittle, good guy.
Really good guy. He's funny.
You talk about developing talent, the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, good farm the system guys, they, that yeah, they have. Exactly. They always have somebody to call up.
I know. Rustin Dodd at the Athletic now. Good stuff. So Sean Manaea's no-hitter. It hurts if you're a Royals fan because you had him, and he's a big left-hander. I mean, the kid is 6'5", 245 pounds. 2 years of Major League service, and he's 26 years old, a left-hander. Yeah, that's going to sting for a while. All right, so Royals lose again, and it's hard to talk about it, so we're not going to talk that much about it. Danny Klinkscale is going to talk more about it at 11 o'clock with Baseball Tonight. All right, still to come on the show, Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World. We'll talk KU basketball and football. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will join us to talk draft and NFL and what Kansas City may be considering. And after this quick timeout, Matt Wheeler from ESPN will join us. We'll talk about some of the KU players, Missouri players, K-State players in the NBA draft, and also the NBA playoffs, which have been some of the series are highly entertaining, some have been terrible, but that's the first round of the NBA playoffs. So we'll do that with Matt Wheeler. We'll take a quick timeout. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And boom goes the dynamite.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There you go. Got to dial it up a little bit. Get excited. It's 9:25 on a Sunday morning. It's rainy. Song will heat you up a little bit. This is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, Jed Marshall is running the show today. And just to finish up a Royals thought, we mentioned that the Yankees are calling up Gleyber Torres, one of the top prospects in all of baseball, third baseman, and that would prevent the Yankees from trading for Moose. And our good friend Taco Salazar, who normally torments the Border Patrol guys in the morning, Stephen St. John, Nate Bocatie, and Jake Gutierrez, said Torres ain't going to hit 40 bombs like Moose would. Yanks are being sissies.
Agreed.
Sad.
Agreed.
Sad.
Taco Salazar, on point, Royals insider for Sports Sunday.
By the way, Taco Salazar, sorry about your Tottenham team. Losing out in the FA Cup semifinals yesterday to Manchester United. So Manchester United, I mean, they don't win a lot. They haven't won a lot in the last couple of years, but they're in the FA Cup finals, and they'll face the winner of today's game between Chelsea and Southampton. And Jed Marshall, our producer, is a big Chelsea fan. So
indeed. Me and Fast Talking Rob.
You're looking for a Chelsea-Man U final.
Yes, to crush Jake Gutierrez and my brother-in-law.
And I'm sure the fans of both of those teams in England would be absolutely delirious with an FA Cup.
Yeah, they might have a London's pride or two.
So sorry about that, Taco. My Liverpool team's playing well, though. Semifinals of Champions League in Europe, so we'll get together and watch a soccer game sometime. We're going to switch it over to NBA right now. NBA draft and NBA playoffs. Several KU players going to the draft. At least one Missouri player, if not two. K-State still undecided, and we have some good playoff action going on. And for that, we turn to my good friend, Matt Wheeler, who we used to work together in another day and another time at a TV station. And, Matt, we appreciate you joining us. How about it? NBA's hot right now.
Hey, yeah, Brad. Doing well this morning. And, yeah, playoffs, man, are incredible so far.
Well, I want to start out with the draft a little bit first because KU announced this week that Udoka Azubuike is mm-hmm. exploring his opportunities. He is not going to hire an agent.
Mm-hmm.
But you're working behind the scenes to put together the NBA draft stuff for ESPN. Is there any initial knee-jerk reaction to Udoka Azubuike declaring for the draft?
Well, considering that he shot, 85% from the floor this year, I'm not surprised at all that he's taking a shot at this. I mean, he's a big body. He played in basically an NBA system this year with four players on the perimeter, one guy on the inside. And, you know, why not? You know, why not take a chance? You know, see where you sit. I know nobody has him ranked really in their top 100 or projected to go in their draft, but nobody probably thought he was going to come out. So he might as well just get the free assessment. from the NBA scouts, see where he sits. He goes back to school next year. He knows what he needs to work on, and then he's probably a first round pick next year.
That would be my advice to him, because although he shoots 85% from the floor, you know, a very high number, he cannot shoot outside of 3 feet. And you know this as well as anybody. In the NBA, it doesn't matter how big you are or how talented you are, you have to be able to shoot. And right now, Udoka Azubuike cannot shoot.
Well, and obviously that's the feedback that he's probably going to get from agents.
He hasn't hired an agent that we know of.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to start anything that's not true. But that's what he needs to work on, and that's what everybody is trying to do nowadays. I saw a report the other day that Jeremiah Tillman from Missouri is shooting 1,000 three-pointers a day because he's trying to expand his game. And, I mean, Dwight Howard, he shot 1,000 three-pointers last summer to try to expand his shooting range. Didn't necessarily work for him.
No.
that's the future of basketball. That's the present of basketball. That's where we're at, is that everybody, all five players, need to be able to stretch the floor to some extent.
We're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, talking NBA draft for the KU, Missouri, and K-State kids, as well as we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Matt, I'm looking at your website, ESPN.com, best available. This is not projecting who's going where in the draft, but best available, and ESPN.com has one Michael Porter Jr. listed number one, best available.
Well, I mean, before the back injury, I mean, I think he was probably the clear-cut number one player. I mean, a guy at his size that can move, shoot, everything reminds everybody of Kevin Durant. But, you know, the back injury obviously scares people off, and that's probably why he'll drop in the draft. But, you know, skill-wise, we were just talking about, Brad. I mean, you got to have a guy who can play inside and out, can shoot from all over the floor, and he can. He can definitely do that.
And he's gonna have to get a little bigger too, which I know the NBA, once he gets there in the weight room and the diet program, he's gonna have to get bigger to take on the guys in the NBA.
Right, and that's the other catch. I mean, you can look at Begley as well at Duke. You know, that's everybody's drafting these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and that's exactly what they are. They're kids. You know, they're not grown men yet. Not everybody can be LeBron and Dwight. You know, even Dwight, when he came out of high school, you know, he was thin. I mean, he was able to build up, and he obviously is incredibly large for the rest of his career, but you know, he was thin at one time too. LeBron, you look at, you know, him in 2003 compared to what he looks like now, and he's a completely different size guy. But yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, you draft a 19-year-old kid, that's just what you're going to get.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, talking NBA draft and also NBA playoffs. Matt is a Kansas City native, went to Ray Peck High School, a proud Panther. All right, so the ESPN.com best available list, Michael Porter Jr. number one. The first Kansas player that pops up, no surprise, is Malik Newman, and he's ranked as the 18th best available player, and he's right behind Mo Wagner from Michigan.
Yeah, and you know what? Malik earned that. I mean, his NCAA tournament and the last basically month of the season, he completely earned that ranking by his shooting ability. Now, I remember early in the year, I had Kansas a couple games early this in the non-conference, and, you know, he was struggling with his shot, struggling to kind of – I don't really want to say fit in, but I think he was trying to find his role with Kansas. You know, Svee and Devontae Graham were really doing their thing, and Azubuike inside was dominating. But, man, Kansas really took the next step when Malik Newman really got rolling, and really – it shouldn't have been that big a surprise to people. The guy was a McDonald's All-American. The guy was a top 10 recruit. He was a big time player. And, you know, he transferred into a big time program after playing at Mississippi State, where he's around, surrounded by a whole bunch of really good players. You know, this isn't the pros, you know, they're still playing at the college level. These guys still have to learn how to develop and play with each other. You know, so to me, it was no surprise that he kind of struggled at first, even though he had the year he had to sit out. But, you know, the guy's a big-time player.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, NBA Draft and Playoffs, and we're looking at KU, Missouri, and K-State kids. All right, so Malik Newman is the only KU player in the top 25 in terms of best available ranking, right. Not necessarily where they'll go. Devontae Graham and Sfi Mikhailiuk will have to find a way to develop much. Devontae, he's not the same player as Frank Mason. That's not a fair comparison.
Correct.
They're different styles of players.
Yep.
But Frank Mason was able to go in. He was drafted in a spot where you could an NBA team would easily say, you're not good enough. Go play in the summer league. Go play in the G League. Go to Europe. And we'll stash you on the bench, maybe. We'll hold your spot. But Frank Mason fought for his minutes and turned into a pretty good player for the Kings. Is that what Devontae Graham is going to have to do, a similar thing? He's going to be overlooked and he's going to have to fight?
It all depends on where he lands. See, Mason landed – it was very weird. You know, he went to Sacramento, and Sacramento had an incredible draft last year. I mean – You look at all the rookies that they took. They got Giles from Duke. They got Jackson from North Carolina, and they went out in the off season and they signed George Hill,
right?
Which didn't really make a ton of sense. So Frank was really looking at being the third point guard on that team, but then they deal George Hill at the trade deadline to Cleveland. And it opened up an opportunity for him to play more. But I guess Sacramento has, despite signing all those veterans that they did last year, like they signed Vince Carter also, which I kind of get, but I kind of don't get. They signed Zach Randolph. So now I guess Sacramento has completely gone in with the rebuild mode, which is what I thought they should have done anyway. But so Frank's in a very good situation to where he's going to get lots of playing time as the backup point guard. And look, despite the fact that they're in the West, where it is extremely difficult, he's going to get good quality minutes. And if you're Devontae Graham, you're hoping for the same thing. Now, I've been looking at some mocks, and he's going anywhere in the early part of the second round. And like ESPN, for instance, has him going 42nd to Detroit. Detroit probably wouldn't be that bad a spot for him. Now, Reggie Jackson signed a big deal with Detroit a couple years ago, was supposed to be the guy that kind of got the Pistons going. They were you know, heading in a new direction under Stan Van Gundy, but Reggie Jackson has been devastated the last two seasons with injuries. So Jackson hasn't been able to stay on the floor. Ish Smith, who they signed, who was a undrafted player at one time, but is very fast, is a very good backup point guard. He's been pressed into more of a starter playmaker's role. If Jackson continues his role, just assuming if this is where Devontae Graham were to land, he should get plenty of playing time with a team like the Detroit Pistons. I also saw Sports Illustrated has him going to Phoenix. Phoenix would be a great situation for him to go to as well because it's a young, up-and-coming team. A lot of head coaches are very interested in the Phoenix job because of Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. I was going to say he could slide in and back up Devin Booker.
Yep, exactly. And I think Graham's ability with his size and the way the game is played, he's a perfect fit for the NBA nowadays because he can play the one and the two. He's comfortable playing off the ball, as he showed when he played with Frank Mason. He's comfortable with the basketball, as he showed this past year. So I think whoever drafts him, he's going to be in. You know, I don't want to put this much pressure on him, but it seems to me that it's a very similar situation to what Mario Chalmers had when Chalmers came out in 2008. Remember, Chalmers dropped into the middle of the second round because that draft was loaded in 2008, just similar to this one. Graham, an experienced player, probably may get picked up by a good team in the second round and could very well be a key contributor to some team right away.
Are you listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB? I am Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, does a lot of work behind the scenes during the college basketball season and helps do all the prep work for the NBA draft show. All right, one more player to ask you about for the draft, and then we'll get to the playoffs. Jonte Porter, he is, in terms of best available, ESPN lists him at 48, but I've seen mock drafts that have him going in the first round, mid to late. Maybe as high as 18, I think, is where I've seen him.
Yeah, Sporting News has him at 18 to the Spurs. what, assuming everything works out for Greg Popovich, and I know there are some rumors popping up about maybe Popovich stepping away from the Spurs, but if Popovich were to stay in San Antonio and just the Spurs culture, I think that Jontay Porter would be a great fit for San Antonio. And, I mean, that could be – it would take a couple years. I mean, obviously, Jontay's the youngest player – the youngest American player, excuse me, in the draft. So, Jontay is going to take some time. Obviously, he's not as good an athlete as his brother. That's kind of the big knock on him, is that he's not a great athlete. But you could argue that Jontay Porter is as fundamentally sound as almost anybody probably in this draft. The way he can pass the basketball, the way he shoots the basketball, he can play inside, he blocks shots, he's a very good defender, he moves his feet well to make up for his lack of athleticism. So Jontay Porter, yeah, he could go late lottery, or maybe not the late lottery, but you know, to a good playoff team like the Spurs, who are looking for more pieces to add.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN. Covers college basketball behind the scenes, getting ready for the NBA draft. Went through all the Missouri and Kansas kids. Landry Shamet, I'll ask you about next time I talk to you, the Wichita State kid from Park Hill High School, north of the river in Kansas City. Yeah, he's very athletic, and I got him. If he puts on another 10 to 15 pounds, he could be a beast.
He could be a really good player.
All right, let's talk about NBA playoffs now, because some of these series have been a blast and fun and entertaining, and we've had fisticuffs in some of these series. And we've had some
90s all over again.
Yeah, exactly. The old Pistons and the Bad Boys and all that. The one series I find interesting but lacking entertainment value, at least in terms of being equal, is Philadelphia and Miami. Sixers and Heat. The Sixers are must-see TV right now. With Ben Simmons just going berserk, with Joel Embiid and the way he shoots his mouth off, and he's on the Instagram and Twitter. And in a game in which... Look, the Sixers are up 3-1 in the series. But in a game that was a 4-point ball game last night, Joel Embiid was awful on offense. 2 of 11 from the floor. 8 turnovers. But he got 5 blocks and 12 rebounds. He did the other things when his game was going away. It's a very entertaining basketball team. I don't know how deep they get, but watching Joel Embiid finally be able to succeed in the NBA has been a blast to watch. And with him and Ben Simmons doing their Batman and Robin routine, or maybe they're both Batman, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been they're putting
Batman
the final
and Superman.
Yeah, they're putting the final nail in the coffin of the Heat, because I don't think Dwayne Wade's going to play in Miami anymore. But they're finishing off the Heat and whatever was left of their run of the last 6-7 years.
Well, in my predictions when the playoff brackets came out, I have the Sixers in the conference finals.
All right.
I have them beating the Celtics in the next round, mostly due to Boston's injuries and their lack of depth. And I think Philadelphia can really exploit that with Boston not having the size that they probably need to throw, all the bodies they need to throw at Embiid, and then no Kyrie combating the point guard play of Simmons. Ben Simmons is showing everybody just how good he is. And Brad, don't get me wrong, Joel Embiid is amazing, and this is exactly why Philadelphia took its time with him. I mean, this guy is a superstar in the making, and he is amazing. But Ben Simmons is the reason why this team has taken off. Ben Simmons, look, he's very close game-wise to LeBron, because he can completely control the game at his size with his passing ability. He's so big and he can see the floor so well. The Sixers, assuming nobody gets hurt, assuming everybody stays healthy and everything comes to fruition, the Philadelphia 76ers could be taking over the NBA over the next 10 plus years. I mean, Ben Simmons, you know, obviously LeBron is still there in the East for now. You know, we'll see after this season. But Ben Simmons and the Sixers could eventually take over the throne that LeBron has had in the East, and the Sixers could be dominating the way LeBron's teams have the past 7-8 years.
Yeah, I've heard some national talk show people say, you know, the Cavaliers don't make it to the finals. It's a disaster. No one's going to watch. I totally disagree, and I'm going to wrap this up on the 76ers. I totally disagree. The 76ers are a hot story, a hot team, and I think that they'd make a great story if they get to the conference finals or even the NBA finals. One final question, Matt, before I let you go. Jazz Thunder last night. Jazz blowing the Thunder out of the water to take a 2-1 lead. Ricky Rubio goes crazy. I don't like the Houston Astro looking uniforms the Jazz had on, but
me neither.
No, they were horrific, but Ricky Rubio went off, and Russell Westbrook said after the game, "I will make sure he doesn't do that blank again." Ricky Rubio's living in their head right now.
He is. He is. And this is the Ricky Rubio that everybody thought the Timberwolves were going to get when they drafted him when he was 18 years old. But again, like we were talking about with the draft, you're drafting 18-year-old kids. These guys need time to develop. They're playing against grown men in the league. And you know what? A change of scenery for Rubio was the best thing that ever happened. But you know what? Myself being a Missouri fan, how about the job Quinn Snyder has done?
Absolutely.
Quinn Snyder has and you know, when Quinn Snyder left Missouri, you know, he went all the way to the bottom. You know, Greg, he did get hired on a Greg Popovich's staff, but he worked his way all the way up through Popovich's staff. He coached in the G League. He won a championship in the G League. He coached in Russia. He came back to the NBA, worked as an assistant under Doc Rivers and Mike Budenholzer, and now he got his shot. And you know what? Brett Brown's probably going to win Coach of the Year in the NBA, but Quinn Snyder definitely probably should, could in another season, probably would be the Coach of the Year.
And Utah is a good place for him because there are not as many distractions as other NBA cities. So.
And even though it's killing me because I'm a Thunder fan, the Jazz play as good a team basketball as you are going to find in the NBA. They really play for each other. The Thunder are not playing for each other. They're playing very much hero ball, and that's the difference so far in the series.
And that's what they've done. That's what the Thunder have done a lot this season. They've deferred to Westbrook, and they not played the team. I still like them, but so we'll wrap on that note, Matt. Hey, I appreciate it. You know so much about college basketball, NBA basketball, European basketball. I'll have to get into that next time and find out who some of these Euros going into the draft are that I don't know anything about. So
that's my role on the NBA draft this year. I'm getting all the video together for the international players.
That's awesome because I don't know them other than YouTube videos. So next time I will get you on and we will talk about some of the Euro players that we that I and most of us don't know anything about. So
Luka Doncic, that's put your all you need to know.
Okay. He could go number one, number two, number three. So hey, Matt, thank you very much for joining us on a Sunday. I appreciate it. You've been a good friend over the years, and hopefully we'll see you again soon. When you get back to Kansas City, let me know.
Sure. No problem, Brad. Good talking with you.
All right. That's Matt Wheeler from ESPN. Worked with me in television for several years here in Kansas City before he went to the Worldwide Leader. Does a lot of work behind the scenes in college basketball and gets the staffers ready for the draft. And he just said his beat right now is getting everybody on board with all the European players who we just don't know anything about. Matt knows everything about European basketball. He knows all the guys.
Yeah. We were texting a little bit back and forth. Matt's a super nice guy, super knowledgeable also.
Yeah. He has a ridiculous amount of knowledge in his head, which is why I hated it when I worked with him in TV. I hated to see him go to ESPN, but we all knew that he was meant for big things, and he's survived everything that's happened there. So Matt is a really good dude. So Matt Wheeler, ESPN, thank you for joining us. We're going to take a quick timeout. Still to come on the show, Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World, going to talk KU basketball and football and the KU players in the draft and all that stuff and how they replace those players. And then Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will join us as the NFL draft is here. I mean, it's here. It's 3 days away. It's here, down in Dallas, down in the big state, 4 days away. I don't count so well. So Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the hour. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is running the show. Just to put a wrap on our NBA chat from the last segment, Matt Wheeler from ESPN joining us. A great kid. I've known him since he was 17, 18 years old. He was an intern at Metro Sports, and now he's on to big things. To wrap up the NBA talk, fast talking Rob, producer for Seren Petro and the program. tweeted out last night, back in 2012, I said the Pelicans should draft MKG, is that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I think, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist over Anthony Davis. That might be my worst take ever.
Yeah, Rob's an NBA hoops fiend also, so that is pretty bad, Rob.
Would Rob be up this early on a Sunday?
Rob is up this early on a Sunday. He actually is at the Dubliner, which is where he watches Chelsea games. We were texting back and forth during the last break.
All right, and Chelsea has not scored against
nil-nil. Southampton's playing extremely defensive football. It's led to a boring first half, which I'm sure everybody wanted my FA Cup semifinal breakdown, but there you have it.
It's there. Winner gets Manchester United.
Boo.
They did that, was that a couple weeks away? Or
yeah,
so?
Yeah. I can find the exact date. I don't know it offhand.
Played at Wembley.
I'm sure.
That's one place I really want to go in my lifetime is Wembley. That and Anfield, the home field for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. No one cares about that.
I do.
Well, right, no one important, Brad.
So now it's time to play our favorite game when we talk about Royals baseball. The lineup is out. So my favorite game to play with the Royals lineup is, where is Whit Merrifield playing today, and where is he hitting in the lineup? So that's our game show. Where is Whit today? Kind of like, where's Waldo? Where's Whit? So where's Whit today? You want to take a guess, Jed Marshall?
I'm going to guess center field, batting second.
Nope, not today.
Second base, batting first.
Half of that is right. He's batting first. Whit Merrifield is leading off.
Batting first, playing first.
Playing first. Three guesses to get it. That's why we play Where's Whit Today.
That's awful.
It's hard. Sometimes you got to figure out. So Whit Merrifield is leading off, playing first base. This is a Sunday lineup, by the way. Sunday lineup is usually what they
They're
have.
They're all Sunday lineups, Brad. We've been over this.
This one is especially Sunday E. So Whit Merrifield is leading off, playing first. You want to take a crack at who's hitting second on a Sunday lineup. Remember, Sunday lineups are when you just throw stuff against the wall.
You phone it in.
Yeah.
Unless it's a getaway.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is a getaway day, actually. So batting second.
Batting second. Almonte.
No. That's a good guess, though.
No, it's a terrible guess, Brad. I hate myself
for a Sunday lineup.
But
so hitting second is Chesler Cuthbert.
Oh, okay. All right. That
playing
seems reasonable.
Third base. Moose is hitting third and DHing today.
Mm-hmm.
Jorge Soler cleaning up in right field.
That's who you want at cleanup.
Yep. In left field today, hitting fifth because Jorge Soler needs protection, Paulo Orlando.
Yep.
Hitting sixth and playing center field, Abraham Almonte. He's wrestled that position for himself.
Yeah, he's really locked it down.
Abraham Almonte locking down center field for the Royals. He owns it right now.
He's literally the second coming of Willie Mays.
He does not want to come out of the lineup. He doesn't want to get Wally pipped. He doesn't want to get Wally pipped. All right, so hitting, seventh at second base, because he owns the position, is Ryan Goins.
Yeah.
That's his.
Yeah.
I mean, he got his break yesterday, right? He got a day off yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, he's good for the rest of the 160.
Yeah. Yep.
Or whatever.
Hitting eighth, Alcides Escobar at shortstop.
He never comes out.
And catching is Drew Butera, which yesterday, Danny Klinkscale always says something that makes me laugh, because I know there's a little bit of sarcasm, but there's a little bit of truth to it, too. So, and some of it's just random stuff, like when Sporting was beating Vancouver Friday night, and he said on the radio, he was doing the broadcast and said, well, I know you don't have timeouts in soccer, but Vancouver could really use one. I thought that was hilarious. So I'm listening to Baseball Tonight yesterday, the post-game show, because why wouldn't you after a 12-4 beatdown? So Danny Klinkscale is going through the performances and got to Drew Butera. And maybe it was to find something to talk about, but I thought it was funny. He said Drew Butera's parents should not have named him Drew because it's a hard name to say. Drew Butera. And Danny decided that it should be like, what did he say? Not like Cliff or something to break up all the hard consonants together and all the way the name doesn't flow together. Carl, that's what he said. They should have named him Carl Butera. So Danny Klinkscale is going to be up at 11 o'clock, by the way, with Baseball Tonight, getting you ready for the Tigers and Royals, Eric Skoglund versus Francisco Liriano. Liriano's been pretty good this year. Skoglund has not. For Skoglund, I don't know if you get to what's the point where you say, okay, he can't pitch here, and then what do you do about it? Is there anything you can do about it? Is there a guy who's going to come up? How about Clay Buchholz? Clay Buchholz has been rehabbing and worked the system, made some starts at AA, and believes at AAA now in Omaha. Clay Buchholz, the former Boston Red Sox pitcher, could be an option if he shows enough things for the Royals to get a call-up and try to resurrect his major league career. All right, plenty more still to come. As I said, Danny Klink's got 11 o'clock with baseball tonight. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Matt Tate, Lawrence Journal World, is going to join us to talk Udoka Azubuike, KU basketball, and a little KU football as well. And we're going to lead off with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. The draft is coming up this week down in Dallas. They're doing it in the big stadium down there. Will the Chiefs be participating on day one, or will we have to wait for day two? How aggressive is Brett Veach going to be engineering a move up to maybe early in the second round or later in the first round? We'll do that all next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810. WHB. Like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.